you know, I think it takes many measures and many different assessments to determine quality. And that's one of the reasons why Missouri has set up our system the way we have, because we do use multiple measures. In terms of looking at the ACT, you know, we're very pleased that our average continues to be above the national. That's certainly a good indication. It speaks well for the students in the state of Missouri, and it says some good things about what's going on in our schools, I think. Having said that, you know, we're very stable, and we would certainly like to see that number going up. Missouri is not alone in that. I think nationally, the numbers have been pretty consistent from year to year. But we would certainly like to see him pray that our numbers start going up.
Well, you know, I can understand how teachers might teach to the test when it comes to the MAP tests. But how could a teacher better prepare, or how can teachers better prepare their students for something like the ACT, or for that matter, the SAT?
You know, there's a couple of things that we know, and in really analyzing the ACT data, we know, for example, that a student who takes the core curriculum, that is at least four units of communication arts, three science, social studies, and math, do better on the ACT than students who do not. Now, of course, in Missouri, we've raised our graduation standards. The State Board did that a few years ago, which was a good thing because now we know that more of our kids are going to be taking that curriculum. What I think we need to do is to drill down even further, and we need to make sure that those three math classes and preferably four math classes that a student might take in high school are really rigorous courses. That they're preparing kids for really high-level math, and that we keep our expectations very high.
You know, we were having a discussion in the newsroom here the other day about some of these numbers, and one of the people was saying he doesn't understand the need to have these 4 years of math classes because you go through algebra, you go through geometry and all of this stuff, but in the real world, how often do you actually use that stuff? So why do we need to have so much emphasis on 4 years of math just to get up to the ACT levels?
Well, there are some who would tell you that Algebra 2 is now the new entrance requirement for going on to higher education. So I think that what we used to think of as the basic requirements have simply been ratcheted up. You know, this is a very technical, very competitive world. And if we want to give our kids the problem-solving skills and the critical thinking skills that they need to compete in that world, we're going to have to make sure that they get exposed to that in very rigorous and high-level coursework.
When they talk about college readiness levels as measured by the ACTs, how arbitrary are those levels?
I think that the ACT and other testing companies have tried to do a very good job of benchmarking their tests. They do that process very carefully with large numbers of carefully randomly selected students over years. So those numbers are pretty reliable in terms of not only serving as a predictor, but also giving us some good information about what high school programming looks like so that we can continue to improve that.
I'm going to ask you this question from the standpoint of a parent, of someone who graduated from high school in the third percentile of the graduating class. But who had good enough SAT scores or ACT scores to get into college, and now he's an airline pilot. So classroom grades and ACT scores don't seem, at least in some cases, to have a correlation, do they?
You know, grading is a whole other issue. We really haven't looked very closely at classroom grading. I think that's one of the next horizons that we're going to have to really drill down to. Sometimes, and I think it depends very much on the work that the individual school has done. In some cases, I'm aware of schools that have done an excellent job of looking at ACT scores, MAP scores, student grades, any other assessments they have, to make sure that there's consistency and that those numbers make sense when you look at the child. I'm not sure that everybody's done that work, but it's very difficult. You know, we have teachers who work very hard to establish standards in their own classroom, and then we tell them, well, by the way, you've got to make those align with the state standards and make sure your grading aligns as well. And that's simply another challenge that our educators face right now.
When we look at the number of students who take these tests, and we talk about how we're at certain grade levels or certain numbers on these test scales, and we want to improve them. The fact is, with so many students in the school, so many students taking the test, even a one-tenth grade improvement here is a pretty substantial effort. What do we need to do to get us up one-tenth, two-tenths?
Well, that's something that we'll be working with school districts across the state to determine. I think that you're right. Even one-tenth is significant. And we're going to have to do whatever's necessary to make sure that happens. You know, the primary focus here is not about the test, but it's about making sure that our kids are prepared and making sure that all Missouri's children are ready to go on to college and to be successful.
Well, I know that you've expressed concerns about the gap in some ethnic scores here, but as I've looked at these scores for years after year after year, it's always been that certain ethnic groups have significantly lower scores than others. I have to wonder, as we look at this over a long period of time, and as you have seen it too, why is that gap there, and why doesn't it close? It's got to be something cultural, perhaps?
Well, you know, I think that there could very well be some cultural issues with the test itself. One of the things that we have to do in education is we have to be very vigilant about ensuring that the instruments and the curriculum and the materials that we're using are not culturally biased. That's work that is ongoing, and I think we need to continue to stress the importance of that work. We don't want to give a child a test that he's not going to do well on simply because of his background. Having said that, I think that for many of our minority groups, there are simply lower expectations. We simply don't expect sometimes as much of our African American kids, for example, as we do of our other kids. Much of that is well-intentioned. You know, many teachers believe they're doing the right thing for children when they let them off the hook, so to speak, and they don't push them. I think that we really need to work with parents, work with teachers, work with school officials to make a statement that all kids deserve our highest expectations and our very best efforts.
Okay, 28% of the white students did meet the college readiness benchmark in all four of these categories. How big a problem is it that only 28% hit the target in all four? It depends on what a kid wants to study. Some of it, doesn't it?
Right, and I think too that's an indicator that shows that is something that we need to continue to do. We see kids who excel in mathematics, for example, and they'll take lots of math in high school, but not so much in the social sciences, or vice versa. What the test is, of course, the ACT group is what they're encouraging, is that kids be well-rounded and well-prepared in all areas. And certainly we would like to see that, but that's another number that we'll have to work on.
Now, we'll be getting SAT results, I suppose, before too long. They usually seem to follow the ACT, as I recall.
Yes.
How do people like you take the results of both of these tests and use both of them to gauge where we are with our educational system?
Well, as I said earlier, I think these are two measures that we look at in conjunction with all the other measures we have, MAP test, end of course test now. We have various common assessments that we can look at. We have graduation rates. We have attendance rates. All of those paint a picture of success in a school and in the district. And taken together, they give us some indicators about where we need to put our efforts and what kinds of things we need to work on.